This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
I'm getting high on these candy canes here. You know, it's that time of year that if anybody's got extra candy canes laying around the house, you bring them to SJ Broadcasting. I love these things.
Non-recreational candy.
Yeah,
candy
please. Canes, yeah, no. I don't need, as everybody knows from listening to the show, I probably sound high anyway, but I'm not. So if you've got candy canes laying around.
The regular candy canes.
Yeah, the regular ones. Don't throw them away. Bring them. I will snack on those during radio shows.
Yeah, it's been July and we've seen lawn with candy canes.
Oh, absolutely. Sometimes, like, you'll go into a store, you know, even late, like in the March, and they'll have candy canes that didn't sell, and there's like 500 of them for a dollar. And I'm like, I will take four of those things. So 2,000 candy canes for a dollar.
That's Lon's jackpot right there.
All right, boom. All right, Derek Piper, he is live at East Lansing, Michigan, Breslin Center. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. Hey, I just want to say a quick apology to Hans. I missed his call pulling into this parking garage. I called back. He sounded like he was a little bit hurt. So, my bad, Hansi.
Hurt wouldn't be the word.
Yeah, it's beyond hurt, Derek.
He's disappointed.
mad, disappointed. He threw something across the room. I'm like,
it was ugly.
It was ugly. It was definitely ugly. But we're going to let it slide, Derek. I'll take the brunt. He maybe won't be here tomorrow. He will be here tomorrow. So you're gonna really feel that tomorrow.
You guys can hash it out tomorrow.
Boom. That's exactly it. Yeah, and I'll be in the middle. I'll be the ringleader.
We'll squash the beef.
I love it. All right, Pipes, you've got Illinois, Michigan State. For some reason, Illinois plays well against Michigan State all the time. And I guess when Illinois was really good, you could say, well, for some reason, Michigan State plays well against Illinois all the time. What are you expecting out of this one? I told Austin, I said, I'm not nervous about tonight because I don't expect to win. Should I expect to win?
I think you should expect it to be competitive. I look at the spread, it's 10, or if it's changed in this 4.5-hour drought, I'm not sure. But I think it's going to be a good game. I think that Illinois really has a chance tonight. I honestly contemplated a little bit, maybe taking the Illini. I think the circumstances could potentially be right. They played well against Cassius Winston, of course. You're playing a different style of defense, and you're not pressuring and denying as much. I still think you want to get after him and really make everything that he does tough because you know how much he means to that team. He's coming off the bone bruise. And just the fact that he's banged up a little bit. Rockets Watts has been banged up. He's came back for his first game in a while against Western Michigan. And also, Michigan State isn't super deep as we've seen in years past. So they don't have the role players, the experience they once had outside of Cassius and Xavier Tillman, and they're relying on some young guys that are still kind of fitting in a different role. So Illinois has not been a good road team under Brad Underwood. I know in Big Ten games, their Big Ten road games are 2-17. So far, it's been tough to win on the road in the Big Ten, 1-13 across the league. Michigan State's the only one to get that done. So at the same time, I like how Iowa's playing. I think that's a big-time key. You play good defense as a team. Of course, in my eyes, Trent and Georgia really need to step up. They haven't been as good as you need them to be to pull off a win like this.
Yeah, after that Missouri game, where is this team at mentally right now? You lost there in a court in St. Louis, and now you go on the road to the Breslin Center. So where is this team mentally going into this road test?
They'll tell you they're ready, and we're going to find out here in a couple hours. I know that Kofi, we asked him about that Missouri game and just what kind of went into not, you know, being ready for the tough physical battle that was, you know, knowing that Michigan State is going to be very similar. He said maybe they overlooked Missouri a little bit or didn't think that they were necessarily as good as maybe Missouri played in that game. I don't think that's going to be a problem tonight. I think when you look at the Big Ten games against Michigan, against Maryland, Illinois came ready to play. They were very good for first half plus at Maryland, really took the fight to the Terrapins. And then also when Michigan came to town, obviously I've been able to pull off that win, and Michigan was top five at the time. But you always know that a Tom Izzo team is extremely tough and physical, and they're going to have to be able to rebound. They're going to have to be ready to stop transition game. I think this team will be ready to play. It's whether they can make enough shots, you know, in high major games, big shot below 24% from three. That's not going to get it done. Can Alan Griffin translate what he's done to a high major, to a Big Ten game? Can Damonte Williams be good enough? And can Georgie and Trent, again, step up and provide the role that they're capable of? Because this is a very individually talented team. As Graham said, they're just kind of weird to figure out at times.
Right.
And he's like, what the heck is going on?
Derek Piper, you know the voice. Georgie, I know we talked coming into the season that you know, there'd be some transition as to how he ends up playing with Kofi and everything. But he's been bad, like bad the last two games. Not all year, just the last couple of games. He was horrible against Missouri. I mean, what can we – can he flip the switch? Or is it one of those where it's going to be kind of a slow ascend again, I guess, maybe for Georgie the rest of this year?
That's a great question. He was very bad against North Carolina A&T. He played a season low, I think 16 minutes, and Underwood really felt more comfortable playing with Kipper Nichols. Illinois was a better basketball team when Kipper's on the floor in comparison to Georgie in that game. Obviously, that knowing how good Georgie can be, you need him to be able to step up. And he's been great at passing. His entry pass to Kofi has been fantastic. He's better than anybody on the team. It's not even close as far as being able to get the ball inside. But outside of that, you know, his scoring, I think he's gone too much to trying to bully people. I know he hit the weight room and he feels pretty good about his flex right now, but this is a guy that has great footwork and patience and showed last year a variety of different moves. I think that he's maybe gone away from that a little bit too much. And then defensively, he's not played well throughout the bulk of this year. Some of that is energy. Some of that is just mental engagement, I think. And overall, Georgie is always having a good time, and Georgie is bringing positive energy. Just maybe, I don't know, you got to produce. You got to be able to step up, and I think that we'll see. We'll see if he comes ready to play, because this is a big one. You're going to need him, and this is a big-time matchup for him.
Where will the Illini figure out that outside shooting tonight against Michigan State? Is it as simple as getting Trent Frazier more bulk in shots from behind the arc, or is it a guy like Alan Griffin, or is it somebody we're not even talking about right now to get the three-point shot going for the Illini in this game?
I think it's got to be one of those two that you mentioned. Of course, Io is still a big part of that, and I think that he has another – he can shoot the ball at an even higher level. He has not been as good as he expected to be, or as he's shown as he showed as a freshman from beyond the arc. I know he hit four threes against Michigan State last year too in the clutch that essentially put the dagger in their heart to be able to pull off that upset. Io's got to be able to knock down catch and shoot threes. Same with Allen. Allen's, I think, only 2 of 12 from three against high majors. He had four threes against North Carolina A&T and hasn't had a problem against some of those lower level of competition. He's got to be able to translate to that tonight. And then Trent, yeah, he went 2 of 6 against North Carolina A&T and hasn't really, over the last four games, shot a very good percentage. I would like to see, and we talked about this over the last couple of weeks, is finding a way to get Trent looks or run him off a screen or some kind of design play to get him going. I think, and then also I think there are times where he maybe is a little bit too hesitant and is trying to play the right way and maybe just need to free up a little bit and be himself, knowing that he can get so hot from beyond the arc. But I don't think you have to come in here and expect, you know, we got to hit 10, 11 threes to win the game. But there's no doubt, you know, you won against Michigan going 1 of 11 from three. I don't think that's going to happen again.
Illinois doesn't mind pushing the ball. They like transition. Michigan State, though, number 2 in the country in offensive efficiency. Some guy named Derek Piper wrote that this morning, and I read that and wrote it down. they got the top scoring offense in the Big Ten. Graham mentioned it too. You got to slow the transition, but Illinois likes to transition a little bit. So how does it play out in your mind tonight?
Yeah, I think transition is good for both sides. Illinois defensively against Missouri and NCAA&T had stretches where they just didn't stop the ball and they didn't get back. And, Underwood was asked about after the last game, is that going to be a big focus in practice? Being better against Michigan State, who loves to run, and there's no doubt about it. If you look at the stats, Michigan State wants to run, 20-25% of their offensive opportunities in transition. Cash is going to push the ball. Tillman really runs the floor well. Can Kofi keep up with him? I think that's a big concern as it gets into an up-and-down game. But Illinois, that, you know, they're comfortable, particularly the guards, going in transition. And as far as efficiency and points per possession, Illinois is one of the top, they're in the top 5% in college basketball as far as being able to score effectively in transition. They just don't get as many of those opportunities by not forcing turnovers. But I think that that's a big part of what Illinois needs to do. I think it's the key to this game is getting out in the open court and trying to score fast, because we've seen they get bogged down in the half court. Michigan State's a very good half court defense. And I think that double and triple teams are coming for Kofi, and Illinois still hasn't shown they can necessarily effectively handle that. So the more up and down pace, I don't think that hurts Illinois. Of course, the defensive end, they got to show they got to be able to stop it, though.
Talking with Derek Piper of The Drive with Tay and Piper, also of IlliniInquirer.com. And final one for me, what is holding this team back from achieving what they thought they could in the preseason? It feels like there's been a shift in mentality a little bit from this Illini ball club.
It's a great question. I said earlier on Jeremy's show that it's right now at 9-4, you're underachieving. You're 1-4 against high majors. You're not where you expected to be, where you talked about being going into the year. I think offensively it's funny to say. Offensively is what's holding them back, particularly in the half court, is just being able to click there. And you got to make shots. That's part of it. I just think also outside of Kofi, what's your identity? Are you running good stuff? Are you getting good looks? Or is there a right the ball movement and just playing right as a team? I think that is something that is still trying to figure itself out. I like the way that Iowa's played recently. Got to get Trent going together. They got to start playing well together. And then also you got to have some other guys play some complimentary roles and knock down some threes. But defensively in the half court, I think they've been pretty darn good over the last four games. They haven't given up, you know, 65 points or more, which is very good. That was a big question mark going into this year, is whether they could get stops or they could get rebounds. They've done that. But offensively, there's just been a disconnect. And then also, as you mentioned, with the mentality, not being ready to play against Miami, not being ready to play against Missouri, I can't explain those. I don't think the team can necessarily put that one into words, and they got to figure that out. That boils down to leadership. And I asked Brad about it recently. He said, it's now on me. I know that I got to be the one to pull that out. And
correct.
Right now, I think everybody agrees that there's enough on this roster to make the tournament. It's on the players, and it's on the coaching staff to make that come to fruition.
How has that leadership void been so long with a bunch of guys that have played so many minutes on a college basketball floor? Because you win with the younger teams nowadays in college basketball. How is Brad Underwood still the leader in the locker room? How has that not been put on the players, per se?
Yeah, Brad said that when certain guys have struggled, and I think it'd be easy to figure that out. You know, early on, Iowa's not having the year that he's hoping to have. Georgie's going through a transition process and hasn't played as well. It's easy to be a leader in the offseason when everything is going well and Andy Katz keeps rising you up in their rankings and you're just going to talk about the season that you're going to have. I think it's easier to have be in that leadership role. And this team has a great work ethic. That's one thing that they've been able to do. But when times get tough and you hit adversity, and can you make other people better? I don't doubt Io preparing himself for a game, but can he take the responsibility even when the shots aren't falling for him or his game's not where he wanted to be? Can he make others around him better? Can somebody else, if it's not him, elevate that locker room and make sure you're ready to play and take some pride? And I think that the fact that we're still asking those questions in year three for Underwood is frustrating. I know that you look at some guys and there's some youth still in that locker room, but at the same time, it's not time for excuses. These guys have played together, as you mentioned, and they know what it takes to win. They did it late last year, so now it's kind of a prove-it time, and we'll see what this team is really made of.
I'm stealing one more thing from you, Pipes. The Illini have trailed for just 6 minutes and 50 seconds out of 80 minutes through the first two Big Ten games. 1-1. This isn't necessarily a must win. It would be a beautiful win to add to your resume, no doubt. But this is a game certainly where if you perform well, I guess you'd have a chance to win. I'd much rather know that I'm coming home and beating Purdue on Sunday to get back to 2-2, even if you fall tonight. So it should be a fun one to watch. Derek Piper will be there, and then by the magic of a car, he'll be back here again tomorrow talking about this game. So we will do that tomorrow, my friend. Have fun up there. We'll look for you.
All right, sounds good. Look forward to it tomorrow, and have a good rest of the show, guys.
All right, buddy.
Will do. Thank you.
Derek Piper, co-host of The Drive with me and Austin Berkland, taking his spot today. That is amazing. 6 minutes, 50 seconds out of 80 minutes against Michigan and Maryland. You've had the lead in a game.
I mean, you got to learn to close against Maryland.
Amen.
I mean, that's the huge issue in this whole season so far, is learning how to close. You saw it against the Cupcakes in the first game of the season. That team came back, and what, did you have to go to overtime to win that game? Mm-hmm. And then you look at what happened in Miami. You weren't able to close that game because Io didn't look anywhere else to drive the ball. You look at what happened against Maryland. You call a weird timeout and get everything set up for Maryland to win that game. And you just need to learn how to close games better. In Missouri, you got to show up in the second half. You got to close out that game. You were in the lead at a certain point. You got to learn how to close that even in the first half.
It's funny. Sometimes, like the other day, I thought of this. If I was sitting at a beach bar in Florida and a guy sat down next to me and he was a Georgia Bulldogs fan and he said, "Hey, how's your Illini this year?" "They're pretty good, but I don't really understand them." That's what I would tell him. I'm like, it's a team that against Maryland and Michigan led for 90% of the games. They won one of them. And then it's a team against Miami and Missouri. Now, Miami, they had zero skill at all or intensity in the first half. Miami hits everything it threw up, no doubt about that. But the defense wasn't there for Illinois. They make this miraculous comeback, lose a close one, which has kind of been a little bit of a bugaboo to Underwood in these 3 years.
Yeah.
Those close losses. And then you play Missouri, doesn't even look like he cared to be there in a rivalry game that for years has been such a huge game on your schedule. But yet again, you played well against Michigan. You beat them. You had about a 7-point lead the entire time, which to me anymore is dominance in a game, because normally college basketball is so much about runs. You know, whoop, we're down 9. Oh, wait, we're up 9. Oh, you know, yeah. And in that game, you just pretty much led throughout, right? Wire to wire, as they say in a horse race. And the Maryland game, you essentially dominated for 3 quarters of that game. You were up 15 in the second half at Maryland. And then you can't close it right at the end.
I mean, this might irk you because it is a Cubs thing, but Joe Maddon always talked about jug runs. Like, you go for the jugular during innings and defeat all the hope that team ever has of winning. Illinois, it seems like they've let up off the gas pedal a little bit at times. And it's weird coming from, you look at Brad Underwood and his teams at Oklahoma State and Stephen F. Austin.
He'd be one of the last you would think would be like that.
Yes.
Right? And with his intensity.
Yeah. And I mean, X's and O's are his kind of world. And it seems like the X's and O's have been kind of the weakness outside of the defense this year. I know you're top 60 in defensive efficiency this year, which is awesome. But other than that, offensively, I thought there would be much, much better.
I
don't know if you need the offensive version of Stephen Gentry, and that might solve some issues. I don't know. There's some disconnect going on in terms of finding the scheme that works for this group.
Oh, I just love playing that every once in a while. So let's get nitty gritty real quick. We got Alex Rue coming up around 5:30. Let's get nitty gritty, Austin. Illinois, Michigan State over unders.
Yes,
put these together.
Yes, I'll just run through them for you. Okay.
Okay.
Kofi Coburn rebounds 10.5.
This is intriguing to me. Can he continue to be a double-double machine all through the Big Ten? Xavier Tillman is a good matchup for him. Xavier Tillman is not a John Teske. He's not a Reavers. He's not a guy that can look Kofi in the eye necessarily, because he's 6'8", Kofi's 7'1", or whatever. But I think he's quick enough that he's going to present problems for Kofi tonight. I think Kofi still does well, but I'm going to go under on the rebounds. I don't think he gets to 10.5.
All right, Kofi Coburn points, 12.5.
I think he will get that. They'll feed him early. I think it'll be more of a guards game in the second half, but I think early on it'll be a feel-out process between Illinois and Kofi, and I think he gets enough in the first half to get over 12.5.
Io DeSumo points, 13.5.
This is a no-brainer. He's over. He's over that tonight. He better be. Illinois is going to need it. He's averaging about, what, 18, 17, 18 a game. He went off against Michigan State last year. He feels it against that. It's weird how certain guys play really well against certain teams. I think Io goes over 13.5.
Georgie Bashanishvili, turnovers plus fouls, 7.5.
Oh, well, that'll be over.
Yeah.
Are you talking about on both? No, I'm kidding. You can only have five fouls. No, I think that's over. I think he'll be, and I'm not like, I haven't lost faith in Georgie. This is the kind of game where he could make an impact, you know, that loose ball or hit a key three or make a great pass or just fire up the team when they need it. But I definitely, between turnovers and fouls, see it over 7.5.
Illinois turnovers against 14.5.
Ooh, so can they force Michigan State into 15 or more?
No. This is Illinois turnovers, like the times they turn the ball over.
I keep going over. You know what? I think tonight, no, they're going over. Why would they all of a sudden stop turning the ball over?
Right, against Michigan State.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they will, but I'll go over on the 14.5.
Illinois rebound advantage plus 1.5.
This is a great stat. This is a great stat to look for in this game. Jeremy Warner used to laugh. That's my number one stat, rebound.
Yes.
If you rebound well, you should win games. And Brad Underwood's team rebounds well. Michigan State has always rebounded well. They've been always one of the best in the country. I think at Breslin, they end up getting you in that one. So I'll go under on the rebound advantage.
Trent Frazier made three-pointers, 2.5.
Oh, boy, it'd be nice to see him splash a few, wouldn't it? They're going to need that, I think, in a couple of runs. I'll say Trent gets three. Yeah, I'll say he hits three.
Illinois turnovers forced, 19.5. They forced 24 in the matchup last year.
I think Michigan State is tired. Cassius Winston is tired of doing this against Illinois.
Yes.
I think the injury to Cassius may be a blessing for Michigan State a little bit in the sense that it slows him down a little bit and he kind of protects the ball. I think it's under 19.5.
Cassius Winston points, 18.5.
Yeah, I mean, he needs to score for them. Tillman needs to score and Cassius needs to score. I'll say that he gets his 18.5. I think he and Io each get over 18.5.
And finally, Xavier Tillman points and rebounds combined, 22.5.
I'm going to go 8 rebounds, so that means he'd have to score 13 points.
Mm-hmm.
I think he does that.
24.5 if I went up.
No.
So you're right around 23?
I'm right around 23.
That's fair.
Is that good?
Yeah.
How would you answer those real quick?
Kofi Coburn rebounds over. Kofi Coburn points over. Io DeSumo points under. I don't think he's going to have a really good game.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they're going to key on him after last year's game.
True.
Georgie Bashanishvili turnovers plus fouls over Illinois.
Doesn't every team, though, right now, like, if you're Izzo, do you just throw out the, you just say, I don't care what Io did last year. We got to stop Kofi.
I don't know.
Because if you stop Kofi, you know, I don't know. I don't know. I'll shut up.
Illinois
Georgie turnovers are over.
Illinois turnovers again. Georgie turnovers and fouls over 7.5. Illinois turnovers against. I'm going to go over. Illinois rebounding advantage. I'm actually going to go over here.
I think
Illinois rebounds
That'd
the ball
awesome.
Well, but they don't do anything with it. Trent Frazier made threes, 2.5. I'm going over there. I think he's going to be the leading point getter today. Illinois turnovers force 19.5. I'm going under. I think it's going to be a really clean game for the Michigan State Spartans. Cassius Winston points. I'm going over here. I know it's going to be more of a slog because of his injury, but I think he gets there. Xavier Tillman points and rebounds combined, 22.5. I'm going over.
Going over. Yeah. Okay.
That might spell you what I might view of this game.
You've got Winston and Tillman both going big. They're having big nights. So that could be trouble, especially if you're not forcing turnovers. Kind of sounds like Illinois football, forcing turnovers. You need those. Turnovers are good if you're the one causing them. All right, when we come back, Alex Rue joins us. Excited to talk to him about some of the bowl games. He checked out the Illinois game in the Red Box Bowl.
That's right.
We'll talk to Alex about that next. It is The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
My old washer and dryer were on their last legs, and I really wanted a front loader set. So I went shopping. I thought that the big box lumber yard would have the best deal, so I started there. They had an Electrolux set I really liked, and I thought it was a fair price, but I wanted to compare it with one other store. Dick Van Dyke advertises the best deal, so I tried there. Boy, am I glad I did. They had the same washer and dryer, but their deal came with a buy one, get one free pedestal and a free 10-year protection plan. The other store would sell me a warranty, but for only 5 years. It was a no-brainer. I bought my beautiful new washer and dryer at Dick Van Dyke, saved $370, and got 10 years of protection. Wow!
I'm Dennis Reagan, president of Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. This could be your true story in Champaign-Urbana during January. I guarantee the best deal on your next appliance purchase. Wow!
When you buy from us, you get the whole store.
Cyber criminals will steal an estimated 33 billion security and private records by next year. The average cost of a data breach for a small business in North America is as high as $117,000. While these numbers can sound frightening, they don't have to be. Ease your fears by having Area-Wide Technologies come look at your setup. They'll ensure your system is secure and will give you a detailed inspection report of just how susceptible to these threats you are. Call them today at 359-8041.
Hey, it's Stevie J. Like many, I knew all about Game Day Spirits Illini gear, but I wasn't so knowledgeable about the corporate apparel they do. But they do really great work. I've had some shirts done, and some of my employees have too. They're very high quality and perfect for your business or organization. If you need something in the summer, need something in the winter, Game Day Spirit does custom screen printing and embroidery for every season or style. From blue collar to the boardroom, they have you covered with corporate apparel. Get a quote. Email sales@gamedayspirit.com and you'll be pleased.
At Everyday Kitchen Restaurant and Bar, we believe that food makes you feel good. Get cozy by the Open Flame Spitfire Grill to enjoy modern comfort food and drink from Chef Jared Bastion. Crafted with soul and served with heart. Enjoy slow-roasted chicken, hand-cut steaks and seafood, and patiently simmered soups. Dig into fresh takes on homestyle favorites, including the Spitfire Pot Roast or Five Cheese Mac and Cheese. Book your table at everydaykitchen.com or visit us at Neal Street and Fox Drive, right next to Logic Everyday Community.
Well, you've done very well in this job interview. I want to know what powers you through the day.
Well, I use a AAA battery as a backup on my alarm clock. Then I turn on my TV for the weather with my AA powered remote. I drove here in my car that has an MT58 Interstate battery. Oh, I forgot about my watch. It has a coin cell battery from Interstate Battery. I once had a fire in my house, and I knew about it because my smoke detector had a 9-volt Interstate battery. So I guess you could say that Interstate Battery powers me. If you need the hookup, go to them in Champaign on Madison.
Wow, you seem charged up for this job. Hi, it's Stevie J. Start your day with me along with Diane Ducey, weekday mornings 7 to 9, here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
In the room, and Austin and I told him to get out. So he's back in the other room. Do you have a serving it up, Hans?
I do.
You do?
Yep.
What's it about?
Tennis and golf.
Oh, baby. Because it is such a big time right now for tennis and golf around the world.
Oh, totally.
Right in the middle of winter with all the snow.
It's so tough to just find one.
That Dubai
story.
Classic update coming up is going to be. Are they even golfing now?
Not really.
No. They wait till they got a couple weeks and they start out in Hawaii.
Well, the Century Open is going on right now, but then the Hawaii.
Okay.
You'll hear about it.
Didn't America win something in golf
they
recently?
Won the President's Cup.
That's right.
Tiger not only coached it, but he was the stud in that thing. So the Ryder Cup will be this year, though. 2020 Ryder Cup, Wisconsin. Steve Stricker is your captain, and I'm excited for that. All right, Hans, we'll get to you later. We're serving it up. Right now, we're going to visit with a local product, and the man is with the Big Ten Network, and that's Alex Rue. How are you, buddy?
Doing great. What's up, fellas? Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you. Indiana has a chance to win a bowl game, and the Big Ten would be 5-4 in overall bowls. Is that about what you would have expected going into this bowl season with the matchups?
Probably expected a little better. Honestly, the Big Ten wasn't that far off, just with a couple close results not going their way, especially when you look at Ohio State and Wisconsin. But, you know, if they were to finish 5-4 tonight, especially with Indiana pulling off their first bowl win since 1991, it'd be a good story. And I think an overall positive result. And then, honestly, getting the Big Ten back to the college football playoff was a big achievement, a big step that needed to happen. So I think everyone's pretty happy around here.
Did anybody know that Justin Herbert could run that well? Has he always been that good as a runner? My goodness.
I mean, I didn't know that him and Trevor Lawrence could run that well. Those guys took off. And it kind of reminded me of the Colin Kaepernick run back a few years ago in the playoffs, where he just took off and hit the sideline. And seeing Trevor Lawrence do that in person and then Herbert do it was incredible.
I was watching the Ohio State-Clemson game at a bar in Cape Girardeau, Missouri.
And you spotted Alex Rue.
I did not, because Alex Rue was at the Fiesta Bowl. I could not keep my eyes off that game.
It was incredible.
My breath was being held during the big-time moments. It was reminiscent of that USC-Texas Rose Bowl back in 2005. What were your emotions just watching that as a fan and as a media member? I mean, there's got to be so many cool things that you picked up on just being in that atmosphere.
Yeah, so as a fan of the sport and as an employee working the game for the Big Ten Network, like you said, it was just incredible to be there. It was my first bowl game, so I'd never really been in an atmosphere like that. And for my first bowl game to be a college football playoff semifinal, to see, you know, a great team like Clemson that's been there, done that, and see Ohio State get back and perform much better than they had in their previous showing in the Fiesta Bowl 3 years ago when they lost 31-0 to Clemson. It was just awesome. The stadium was awesome. For me, it's always like when the national anthem hits and you kind of can soak in the atmosphere and look around and just see, like, wow, you know, it's pretty cool to be here. That's when it hit me again this year, and obviously sold-out crowd at State Farm Stadium out there in Glendale. And like you said, an all-time game that unfortunately didn't go the Buckeyes' way.
Funny that I was there about 3 weeks before that to watch the Rams put up 600-plus yards on the Cardinals, and I didn't enjoy myself at that. So I'm glad, Alex, I'm glad you had a good game to watch.
Yeah, I forgot you're a Cardinals fan, but it's funny, Lon. Me and my coworker, Logan Bradley, who actually is a Illinois alum as well, and he was on the gymnastics squad. So you know, we're stacking the deck here with BTN employees and Illinois alums, but he said, he kind of made this remark, that stadium looks exactly like you expect it to when you see it on TV. Yes. Like, there's some stadiums that look different. That one is like, you've been there before, even if you haven't. That's how I felt walking in there.
That's a good call. It's a cool stadium. So it's just humongous, obviously, but you're right. It's a cool stadium. All right, I'll shut up, Austin.
Seeing Chase Young in person, what is that like? Just for somebody who just watches him on TV, like, how do you just see that human being do what he does? Like, it's just something incredible.
Yeah, it's interesting because I kind of have to remind myself sometimes, like, when I'm at these events, part of my job is kind of be in the scrum, either pregame or postgame, to just, like, see what we can get for social media. So that means just kind of having our phones out and bumping shoulders with these guys. And you have to remind yourself that, like, you're actually out there with a you know, 6'7", 300-pound human that's built like a cyborg, you know, and he could run you over at any time. And all those guys really on Ohio State and Clemson, like, those are NFL players. But Chase Young's incredible. And seeing him just kind of the last couple years develop, not only as a player and, you know, it's the old cliche, but, like, off the field as well, he really is a good dude. And you kind of see those moments when you're at Ohio State games, like the Big Ten Championship game or these bowl games, where he takes time to be the last one off the field to sign autographs, to take pictures with fans.
Very cool.
He's been great interacting with us, and he just seems like a dude that has it all put together, and it's good to see him, you know, have so much success, and it'll be fun to watch him, whatever his decision might be, whether it's to return or to go to the NFL, which seems pretty likely.
Right. Alex Rue, Big Ten Network. Now, I feel bad for you, Alex. You had to go to Arizona. You also had to go to Santa Clara and watch Illinois.
Tough life, Alex.
The travel. I mean, I can't imagine all the nights in the hotel. And okay, come on. How was the Red Box Bowl? I know we wanted a different. Well, you kind of put your Big Ten hat on, but we around here wanted a different result. But how was the Red Box Bowl? Pretty cool to see the orange and blue out there again, finally.
Yeah, did not feel bad for me. When I saw that I was going to be able to go to the Fiesta Bowl for work, I figured I might as well try and swing up the West Coast and take in the Red Box Bowl as an alum. So I was not working for BTN at that game, which gave me an opportunity, though, being there to kind of take in a lot of the fan and alum events for Illinois. So I went down to pregame bowl party the night before the game in San Francisco next to the ballpark.
Cool.
Next to the Giants ballpark. And that was packed shoulder to shoulder. Illini fans, so good to see that. I went to the pregame event at Santa Clara Convention Center, which is also packed, and the band was in there. And, you know, it kind of felt like, I'm sure for Illinois fans, just kind of rejoining the party. You see all these fans of other teams, kind of your peers get to go to these destinations every season during the holidays, and Illinois fans have kind of been left out. And it was just good to see, you know, Illinois fans rocking the orange and blue in the airports and at the restaurants around the Bay Area. And it was cool to see, you know, our alumni base get back into the swing of things.
What was the experience like at Levi's Stadium? What is that stadium like, and did it meet your expectations as a fan?
Yeah, so for anyone who's been to Santa Clara, anyone who was there, I need to stress just how far San Francisco is from Levi's Stadium. Like, the majority of the pregame events and the one I was able to make it to, like the pep rally, were in San Francisco, and that's where the team was staying. And it's a good hour drive with light traffic to get to Levi's Stadium. But aside from that, like, the stadium is beautiful. It was a beautiful day. It's only 5 years old, so they kind of have all the 21st century amenities that you'd expect from an NFL stadium. And it was, for having the top section blocked off, it was still a pretty lively crowd. I was actually kind of surprised at how into it the Cal fans were. I was sitting on the Cal side, not the Illinois side, and there were fans like leading chants the whole game. Friendly banter between the Illinois fans and Cal fans, and it was just a beautiful day. And we were on the sunny side of the stadium, and apparently if you were in the shade, it was just freezing. So I'm glad that I was on in the sunshine side of Levi's Stadium.
Did you partake in the Titanic cam that I saw from social media?
I did not partake in the Titanic cam. I might have been in the restroom during that or getting some concessions or restocking. But there were some funny promos with the Red Box being the sponsor, and people would – I think do like trivia, and they would win their whole row like a free Red Box rental. And so
that's cool.
People like in Champaign running to their local Walgreens or wherever the Red Boxes are these days.
That is awesome. Alex Rue, Illinois, they lose the game 35-20. They end up losing three in a row to finish the season. At Iowa, you felt good because they competed. Northwestern, you didn't feel good. You didn't have your quarterback in Brandon Peters. And then, you know, you had a lot of injuries, unfortunately, in that bowl game. How should Illinois fans feel at the end of this season that, you know, you get progress with a bowl game, you still finish 6-7, so Lovie's still yet to have a winning record as Illinois coach through 4 years. But next year, you know that you could have a special season with a lot back. How should we feel right now, you think?
Yeah, you know, walking out of the stadium, I was actually was a little impressed at how optimistic kind of most people seemed on in the streets and on social media. The optimism was refreshing in a way, but I think a lot of that has to do with not necessarily the result at the Red Box Bowl, but like you said, with everyone pretty much coming back
right. Next
season outside of those running backs, and you get a Luke Ford back, you get Marquez Beeson hopefully back to shore up a secondary that had some issues all season and kind of were, you know, came and reared their head in the Red Box Bowl. And it's really the first time, I think in general, fans should just feel optimistic that it's the first time in a long time that there is a tangible results to look forward to in a football season. Like, when's the last time Illinois fans could say, hey, we're really looking forward to next season, and we can kind of go into spring and summer and
amen.
August camp, you know, being optimistic and looking forward to maybe having a Minnesota-type season. Like, we've seen the blueprint, what Minnesota did this year, maybe having that type of season heading into 2020.
Last one for you, Alex. Big Ten Network, explain maybe to some of our listeners what exactly you're doing for the Big Ten Network, especially in 2020.
Absolutely. So what I do, the short title of it is digital producer. So I guess the best way to explain it is by some of the things that we did at the Fiesta Bowl. So since we can't shoot in-game highlights on a Fiesta Bowl-type event, like ESPN controls all of those highlights right. And all of that footage, we were out there trying to have fun with the fans and kind of the events around the Fiesta Bowl. So we kind of did the Jimmy Kimmel Man on the Street approach.
That's like
we,
cool.
Went around to Clemson and Ohio State fans and asked them to tell us where the other university is located. And that's a good example of, you know, the fans not really being familiar with each other's fan bases and just being stumped in an answer. And then we have fun with it, share on social media. And I also still host a podcast for Big Ten Network. So I do still have some journalistic duties for the network. Still get to interview athletes, talk to media coaches, and then also we do all kinds of stuff at events like the Big Ten Championship Game, Big Ten Tournament, Media Days, Final Four, and a lot of strategic social media planning for all the fans out there following us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that.
Who is the funniest guest you've ever had on your podcast or your funniest interview you had with a player?
Okay, funniest. That's interesting because there's so many guys that I meet, guys and girls that I meet throughout the year, especially like on the Big Ten bus tour. You'd be surprised at how many players are just great to talk to, how many athletes at these football practices we get to talk to. And I really think it's a product of social media and like cell phones. Like everybody that we talk to is so comfortable getting on camera and just going and just riffing and having fun with us. And it's really amazing to me how many athletes are just completely comfortable at getting a slight instruction from us and then having fun with it. But I will say my favorite guest to have on my podcast every year is Joel Klatt. The guy cracks me up. I think he's a really good analyst, and he also kind of provides the Paul Feinbaum personality, level of that personality for BTN as to what he is to the SEC. So I enjoy talking to him at least once a year.
That's awesome.
Now, how do you people follow the Big Ten on Twitter, and which accounts should a lot of fans be following?
For sure. So there is one main Twitter account that's at Big Ten Network, and that kind of oversees all 14 schools. And then Illinois fans should definitely follow the at Illinois on BTN Twitter account. For example, we'll be posting highlights from tonight's game at Michigan State to that account. We post all kinds of off-the-wall stuff like I talked about that we do when we have kind of fun with fans and the athletes, the off-field stuff, but plenty of video highlights, recaps, and all sorts of fun stuff on those accounts, Instagram and Facebook too, at Big Ten Network.
What was that last one again, one more time?
Instagram, we're at Big Ten Network, and the Big Ten Network Facebook account. There's also Illinois-specific BTN Facebook page that fans can search as well.
Okay, man, you got us covered. Alex Rue, Big Ten Network, it's always great to catch up with you, my friend. Thanks for the time today.
Thanks a lot, guys. Take care.
All right, buddy. Alex Rue, he's a Champagne product. Doing big things. That's fun to visit with him and catch up. All right, got to do some work. Go local with CMI, Chemical Maintenance Incorporated, for all your janitorial and equipment needs. The reviews are in. Folks love Betsy and Brad Parks and their team at CMI. One review read, "We are so happy to have found CMI. What an awesome team. We've worked with Betsy Parks and Mindy Smith, and they have each gone above and beyond for us. We were truly in a bind when it came to our floors. Not only has CMI had the products we needed, they were able to deliver them at no additional cost and on the same day." That's what you get when you shop local, people. Go local with CMI online at CMIClean.com. It's a Hans D serving it up to start the new year. Next, The Drive. The Drive.
Designer shop, flooring surface is your first stop.
This is your year for impeccable flooring style. Flooring Surfaces brings fresh looks from around the world to Central Illinois. And right now, we're offering deep discounts on all the floors you want. You'll save big on Italian porcelain tile, beautiful hardwood floors, waterproof vinyl, soft and durable carpets, and fantastic backsplash mosaics. If it's in stock, it's on sale now. And with over 1 million square feet of flooring in stock, you'll find the right look to fit your style and budget. Combine excellent selection with free design assistance, free estimates, professional installation service, and financing options. It's easy to see why Flooring Surfaces has your floor covered. See us today at 401 East Mercury Drive in Champaign.
See the showroom top designer shop. Flooring Surfaces, your first stop. Flooring Surfaces.
Norm Miller here, chairman of Interstate Batteries. You know, without batteries, life would be pretty lifeless. That's why Interstate All Battery Centers carry them in every size, shape, and style, so you can drive, drill, call, film, or do whatever it is you want to do. Stop in today. They've got the power to keep you going. Interstate All Battery Center. Outrageously dependable.
Interstate All Battery Center. You'll find them outrageously dependable just over Interstate 74 at 2504 North Mattis Avenue in Champaign, with batteries for most every application in stock.
Hey, Cardinals Nation. The Cardinals Caravan presented by Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance is coming your way. It's your chance to get up close and personal with your favorite team. Get the latest scoop on the upcoming season from current players, Cardinals alumni, and broadcasters. Plus, there will be raffle prizes and autographs for the kids. Jump on the Cardinals Caravan. The Cardinals Caravan. Rolling into Champaign on Friday, January 17th. For more information, visit cardinals.com/caravan.
We're not doing that. We're doing this. Hey, make 2020 your year to improve your financial fitness. Busey promises the support and answers you need to give your budget and wallet a workout. Did you know research reveals people who resolve to improve their money behavior at the start of the year get ahead faster than those who don't? Spend less, save more. Setting SMART goals. That's how you do it. Specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, trackable. Don't just pledge to get physically fit in the new year. Give your budget and wallet a workout, too. For expert advice and solutions, visit Busey.com, call 1-800-67-BUSEY, or stop by one of their many convenient locations today. All right, we're wrapping up the drive. ESPN Radio 93.5, Lante, Austin Berkland. Austin, thanks for doing this today.
No problem. It was fun.
Very
talking
nice.
Talking to Alex, Derek, and
Graham. And Graham Couch, yeah, that was an all-star lineup.
I do my best producing.
You do. You were great. You were great today, and I appreciate that.
No problem.
Now, what you didn't produce and you didn't realize is that Hans wants to take over the mic.
I know. He takes over my production duties and
he
stuff.
He does everything.
Come on now.
He does everything. Hans D., it's time for Serving It Up. I have no idea what song this is, but we're...
Sounds epic.
Okay, let's do it, baby.
This is Serving It Up with Hans D. In tennis, Rafael Nadal finished the season first in the world with Novak Djokovic and Roger Federer in second and third.
I don't like Djokovic.
You don't?
Ever since he beat Kevin Anderson.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I've never liked that dude again.
Yeah. He's funny, but yeah.
He probably is funny. He's probably a good guy, actually.
Nadal's my favorite out of those guys.
He's good.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, he went on grass a lot this year.
Yeah.
Because he's unbeatable on clay, right?
Yeah. He's great on clay. Roger Federer's great on grass.
I'm really good against those tennis hitting walls.
Oh, yeah.
I'm really good at those.
You'd beat those up.
I have never lost.
I'm good when I don't have to run.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of the tennis wall.
I'm more of a ping pong guy.
Boom.
Oh, yeah.
Andrew just set a ping pong table up in the garage. He's got like a man cave going in the garage, and the key is the ping pong. So today I had to bring him pizza, and he's like, can you bring the pizza to the garage? Because all the guys were outside playing ping pong. I'm like, well, yeah, I mean, let me do everything. Let me work my two jobs, buy your pizza, and then bring it to the certain... I mean, don't strain yourself.
He just doesn't understand.
He doesn't. Hans, I got to get you another song. Oh, all right, keep going.
In the USTA 7 Mixed Doubles League.
Oh, yeah. Is this the one you're in?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, this is kind of old news, but hey.
Yeah. Did you win it?
No.
Oh.
Team Skaggs traveled to Aurora to play in the state tournament, but... We won one, lost one, unfortunately not allowing us to move on.
Who did you beat? Who beat you?
Some Chicago player.
Whatever.
Yeah.
They cheated.
They did. The guy I played, I warmed up against him. He played like he was awful.
Oh,
and then he came out.
He
hustled
you.
Oh, yeah. He came out putting spin on every ball.
I love it.
Oh,
how fast was the match?
Sorry?
How fast was the match?
It was a long one, actually. We went into a tiebreaker.
Oh. So you learned.
Yes.
You were like a freshman this year.
Yeah.
So next year when you get up there, you're going to be more prepared.
For sure.
And you're not going to use any spin when you're warming up.
I never use that.
Oh, you don't use it anyway.
Yeah.
Hans, I got to get you another song. Oh, yeah. All right, finish this thing.
In golf, Team USA defeated Team International in the President's Cup after a great comeback led by Tiger Woods. Mm. They started the final day losing 10-8, but came back 16-14.
Take that.
Currently going on in Hawaii at the Century Tournament of Champions, Joaquin Neiman is leading the group at 5-under, and Matt Kuchar is 2 strokes behind.
Did he used to play for the Bulls?
What is he a champion of? Because it's the Tournament of Champions.
Yeah. Well, you're the champion of champions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
And the Sony Open in Hawaii will start a week from today.
That's when I kind of know that
it's going there?
Really cold here because they've got golf.
Yeah.
We're just playing all sorts of different songs for a minute. Is that it?
Yes.
That was it?
That is Serving Up with Hans D.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know, Stevie. Stevie's out there, right? He took a crew with SJ or Stevie J Travel.
Is he busy? Too busy diving, though, the entire time?
Oh, was he going to? That's right. He was going to snorkel and stuff.
Yeah.
Or not snorkel, but
like dive deep, with.
Yeah. I would never, ever do that.
I would like to do that once.
You could not pay me enough to do that.
Would you rather do that or skydive?
Oh, skydive in a heartbeat.
Why is that?
Because I'll tell you why I wouldn't. Because there are things in the ocean we haven't even identified yet. And you're getting down to their depths. Like, they're sitting there going, you know, we were not going to bother you because we're 60 feet down. We were going to let you frolic on the surface, do your little surfing. But since you're coming to me, I'm going to show you my teeth or my, you know, the eel that just like, there's just too many things down there. There's like octopus that are bigger than this room.
I mean, the thing is, though, you can escape those. You can't escape if your parachute is deactivated.
Ah, there's been people that have lived. I mean, you could hit a tree.
Not many. Oh, God.
Hitting a tree.
Just aim for the tree, deflect off the tree, and then off the barn that has the angled roof.
Oh, yeah, and then you land in a pile
down
of
the
hay.
Yeah. Boom. It's, yeah. Fly low, Milo, so the kids can see you. No, I want nothing to do with the ocean. Nothing. When I was in Maui, I snorkeled one time, and I wouldn't. The guy on the way out, it was like a 20-minute trip out to whatever the island is across from Maui. Bill Gates, I think, rented it out for his wedding. They basically, it's not very well populated. It's, they grow, what am I trying to say? What's the Hawaiian?
Pineapple.
Pineapple. So anyway, we're out there, and on the way out, the guy goes, I have only ever seen one shark. And I'm like, why'd you tell me that? I mean, so you've seen one. So now there's a chance. We're going to see another. So everybody gets in, and I stayed on the boat. And he's like, you really not going to go? And I'm like, I am terrified of this. I would rather do anything in the world than do this. And he's like, okay, do me a favor. You see how everybody's kind of where they are? Get in and go to the inside of them. So that, and I was basically on the steps now. I had kind of gotten my body into the water a little bit, and I was feeling brave. He goes, just get on the inside so you're between the island and the other people. So if the shark does come, they'll eat them first. And he pushes me into the water. I was like, no.
Wow.
So I did it, and I did fine after my, you know, initial, like, you start to panic. So before I got back on the boat, I made myself go underwater and look out into the middle of the ocean, and it was just complete dark. And I just I panicked. I just jumped on the boat, and I'm like, give me a beer. This is ridiculous. Yeah, see, Larry says he doesn't like sharks either. Sharks are big, and they're mean, and they, you know, they don't like you.
As long as you have dolphins around you, you're good.
Well, I heard that. I have heard that. All right.
Well, you don't know when you're going to get a load of dolphins to help you out. Right. Right. Yeah. That's the thing.
Hey, I'm not Aquaman here.
You'd have a pet dolphin.
You know what? We did have a bunch of spinner dolphins, though, that were flying with a boat on the way out. Not flying, but you know what I mean. All right, predictions. I've got Illinois 72, Michigan State 78.
I have Michigan State 68, Illinois 60.
Ooh, well, we'd be holding them almost 13 points under their average.
Right.
Hans, I always finish with you because I know it's going to be positive.
Oh, yeah. Illinois 65, Michigan State 63.
Okay.
It'll be a close one.
I like that. Oh, I just played that. I thought this was our other category. There. Well, we have a lot of like rock on this old one. All right, we're out of here. Thanks to Graham Couch, Lansing State Journal, Derek Piper, you know him, and Alex Rue. Austin Berkland, thank you, buddy.
No problem. It was fun, Lon.
Hans, thanks for coming in on your day off looking like, you know, you haven't showered in a week.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for serving it up.
Yeah, baby.
Why, thank you.
Illinois at 7. Let's get it done. We'll talk all about it with Piper tomorrow. And you guys, of course, in the morning, you and Jeremy, we'll talk about it from 10 to 12. We're out.
No, you mean 9 to 11.
I'm sorry, 9 to 11. Not 10 to 12. Well, you can podcast it, though. 9 to 11.
Yes.
It's a drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.